Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Growing up in Houston, Texas, Margaret Juhe Lee always felt like an outsider. Her Korean heritage led to the endless questions of, where are you from? And her own family history had a blank spot. Her grandfather died at the age of 27 in Korea. Her grandmother refused to talk about him, except to say that he was a criminal. As an adult, Margaret Juhe Lee trained as a journalist. She worked at The Nation and eventually undertook to do her own reporting on her grandfather's story. The result is the new book, Starry Field, and Margaret Juhe Lee joins me now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Margaret, in the book we learn that your forgotten grandfather, who was jailed for his political beliefs, is finally being recognized as a patriot of the country. Tell us what you knew about your grandfather growing up.
I think I only knew that he had been in prison and that he somehow made the Japanese mad at him. This was how it was explained to me by my father. And the only time I asked about my grandfather was in sixth grade. I had a language arts assignment where we were supposed to write a composition about our grandparents. And I realized I had no idea who my grandfather was. So my father told me the story of my grandfather being put in jail by the Japanese during the colonial era. And I wrote a short, maybe one-page essay. But that's pretty much all I knew growing up.
So what made you go from that to launching into a whole multi-continent project that spanned decades, Margaret, to uncover more about a man whose wife, who is your grandmother, wanted forgotten?
Well, the project for me started when I was in journalism school, and my father was the one who started looking back into history. He had a sabbatical in Korea. He was a professor. And he actually fell ill, and that's when I stepped in to help him, because since I was in journalism school, I knew that I could use my skills of research and interviewing to try and locate my grandfather's prison and interrogation records.
So your grandfather was branded a teenage communist revolutionary who protested Japanese rule of Korea. There's so much in that. Can you unpack that for us and some of the things that you began to learn about him?
Well, what my father discovered were newspaper articles from the late 1920s, which is when my grandfather was arrested. And he was arrested with a group of other students who were involved in the student arm of the Communist Party. That's when we learned that he was a leader in the student movement. My father had previously believed that my grandfather was a naive country boy who got caught up in something he really didn't understand.
Yeah. Throughout your book, you're unpacking a lot of history of that region in Asia for the reader. I learned a lot from reading your book, and I learned a lot even though I felt like I knew about some of these, you know, pretty major historical events: Japanese colonial rule of Korea from 1910 to 1945, the then splitting up of Korea into two, the Communist North and the Capitalist South, the Korean War. But your telling of these events was through the very specific lens of how it impacted your family and various family members. And I felt like for the first time I understood all these big historical events so much better. So I wonder how much of this history you knew growing up, or you learned as you were growing up, and how much you learned as you were researching it for the book.
I think, like you, I knew the bare facts. My parents never really talked about how their lives were affected by colonialism. So most of the particulars of the history I learned as an adult by interviewing my father and my grandmother, and also reading every book I could find on Korean colonialism.
And at some point in that research, someone tells you to stop researching your grandfather, as it was your grandmother, the wife he barely knew, who was the true hero. And I have to say, I definitely had similar thoughts at points. But you do an extraordinary job of telling us about your grandmother, and I wonder how you walked that line, because in some ways they had very dramatically different lives.
Oh, definitely. My grandmother, when I started this project, did not want to talk to me at all. She said, "Why do you want to know about painful things?" And I had to really convince her to talk to me. And what was the tipping point was that I told her it was good for my career. I was a journalist, I was going to write a book, and this is a necessary step for me. And her being incredibly practical and focused on survival her whole life, she could understand that. But once she got started recounting her past, she couldn't stop. She would just talk and talk and talk. And my mother and I recorded her, and I conducted 3 pretty long-form oral history sessions with her, and those form the spine of the book.
Yeah. In one of the very last meetings that you're having, it's kind of your last hope to find these records on your grandfather, and you're with a man, Mr. Kim, who runs a publishing business, and he tells you that many Koreans come from America to him looking for information on relatives. I have to say, Margaret, that really struck me as a part of the Korean-American community. I realized I didn't know anything about a search for family members likely separated or missing during the Japanese occupation and subsequent split of the country. I'm wondering if that's an accurate reading, and if so, what do you think this means for our understanding of the Korean diaspora?
I think that separation is at the heart of the Korean-American experience, and our elders have been loath to speak about it because it was so, so painful. Almost every Korean-American person I know has some story of a family member or a friend of the family whose, you know, their families were split during the Korean War. Like, they have family members or friends in North Korea that members of their own family had never seen again. It's a huge part of the diaspora story that just hasn't really been told because it is so painful. So I think it's up to the second generation, the third generation, to ask our elders about what happened.
And maybe you just answered my very next question, because I was thinking, I don't want to give away what happens in this story, because it's like a detective mystery and we, the reader, are on this quest with you for information about your grandfather. So let's let readers read your book to find out what happens. But I wanted to ask you, what did confronting your family's buried past end up doing for you?
I think the reason why I wrote this book has changed over the years. It took me over 20 years to write this book. At first, it was professional. It was the story of a lifetime. It was also a way for me to understand my father, who I had grown apart from. It was a way for me to discover my past, my family's past. And I think not knowing about the past was the root of my feeling not at home anywhere.
Well, you end up talking about that at the end, and you say you don't feel like any place you ever lived is home, and that home for you is a state of being.
I think I found home once I had a family of my own. And ultimately, this book is for my children, so they will grow up knowing who their grandparents are, who their great-grandparents are, because that's something I didn't grow up with. And I think it affected, you know, my self-esteem, my search for my identity. And I think that lack of groundedness has made me search, you know, go on this search. And I recently found out that there are many studies in psychology about how family storytelling is really essential to identity building and a sense of belonging for children, and especially adolescents. Learning that, I just feel so validated with this book, because I didn't write it for myself per se. I think I wrote it for my children.
Margaret Juhay Lee's book is Starry Field, A Memoir of Lost History. Margaret, thank you so much.
Thank you.